you're not careful, you got lovers, and they're not God. I love my car. I love my job. I love my child. I love my spouse. Be careful. Keep it in context. We know those gifts come from God, but they should not have a place of prominence in your life.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue the series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children, so please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will discuss the importance of recognizing that all good things come from God. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's program, Israel's Hostility Faces Some Holy Heat.
Hosea chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Hosea chapter 9. Verses 1 through 9. This morning's Bible study is titled Israel's Hostility Facing Some Holy Heat. Israel's hostility faces some holy heat. Now I know over the last several weeks you're like, oh, Pastor, again? Judgment, chastening. Where's the grace? Where's the grace? Well, it's the grace of God being exercised right now that gives us the blessing to look back at these lessons. To look back at these lessons, as the Bible tells us, that whatever was written in the past was written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we get hope. So we look at the mistakes. We look at the things that the nation of Israel, God's holy people, were exercising in, and we learn and we draw conclusions. Like, you know what? Let's make sure that we are close and that we personally evaluate the things in our life. You know, the prophets were not popular people. The prophets in the Old Testament, they had to bring usually a message of judgment and warning. So they weren't the popular people of the day, but they were faithful and they loved God and they spoke the truth. And even in today's lesson, and even in this context, in this century, in this day, in this 2014, guess what? We still have to teach the whole Bible. We can't just pick and choose what makes us comfortable. You guys understand that, right? And I would not be doing my God and my Lord a service, because Paul said in the New Testament that if I'm busy trying to please man, I cannot do the will and purposes of God. So every Sunday when I gather, when we come and preach the Word of God, I have one person that I know I got to make sure that I'm in alignment with, and that's Almighty God. And I got to make sure that I communicate what he says to his sheep. I was just reading in John the other day, in the 20th chapter, you know, we read a little bit later where post-resurrection, Jesus asked this apostle, Peter, three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Remember he said what he said? First he said, feed my lambs. Then he said, feed my sheep. Sometimes, as some pastors might say, when you hear the word of God, you're eating those vegetables that you don't like. Jesus says, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. This is the word of God. I'm going to read the text, and then I give you a little brief intro of our study. Turn to Hosea 9, verses 1 through 9, and I'm reading from my preference. I'm reading from the KJV. I'm reading from the Word of God, Hosea 9, 1 through 9. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved the reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the wine press shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the land, in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will you do in this solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up, Memphis shall bury them, the pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them, thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation have come, the days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool, the spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thy iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity, he will visit their sins. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is a holy God. Again, let's prepare ourselves to receive the word of God this morning. God, we now turn to your word. We ask that you will prepare us to receive. We ask, O holy, righteous Father, that we'll put ourselves in a position of humility with your strength and your grace to receive all your word, to make personal application, to come to conclusions and positions that you will have us come to. As we see the error of your people, may we not be arrogant, may we not be so self-sufficient and in a place where we think that we are not subject to such sins. It's only by your grace that we stand. It's only by your mercy that we don't move. We're grateful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a little brief intro of this text. We've been going through the minor prophets. And in chapter 9, consistent with the other chapters, what we have is that here's what we're going to see. We're going to see God threatening to withhold this nation of Israel from all their pleasant and enjoyable blessings. God is going to withhold them from their worldly blessings and things that they enjoy. Why? Because of their deliberate acts of idolatry. Because they moved to another God, God says, you have forfeited the blessing. You will no longer enjoy the blessing that I bring in your life. Because again, you elected to follow another God. Not only that, anything that you receive, Israel, not only I'm going to start withholding those blessings, I'm not going to receive your offerings. I'm not going to receive your offerings. And any expectation that you have of a good relationship, any expectation of crop that may be planted, you, God says, I am not going to bless you and I'm not going to accept them. And God will also sentence them to complete ruin. God will call them out and he's going to forcefully find fault. He's going to forcefully find fault in them following their father's footsteps. Did you not learn from the past? Did you not see what happened when your fathers moved away from me and invited the judgment because of the rebellion Then they cried out, and I saved and rescued them. And then again, they keep playing that same old record of rebellion and rejection of God and asking God to forgive them and restore them, having a revival, then they rebel. Having a rebellion, then they revive. Have a rebellion, then they revive. And God, rescue, rescue. That you see that in the history of Israel. Now, let's go into our text. Look at verse 1 of our chapter. Verse 1 of chapter 9. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy for other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God, and thou hast loved the reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. Here's the thought. Celebration is canceled, and communion is corrupted when we cheat on God. Celebration, there'd be no room for celebration. It's canceled out. There'd be no communion and no fellowship. There'd be no connecting. And in the way you're trying to connect with God, here's the irony. Here's what's really sad, that you're in an idolatrous state and you're trying to connect with a holy God. God says that's corrupt. You're cheating on me. It's tantamount to a husband or a wife seeking to have relationship and have a relationship like nothing's ever really happened and let things keep going like they're going when yet that party or that spouse is in a an adulterous relationship. It's fruitless. It's hypocrisy. It's not real. God said, it's not real, Israel. You expect me to let bygones be bygones and keep your blessing flowing, huh? Keep the corn, keep the oil, keep the clothing, keep the blessing. Just keep pouring blessings on you when you are involved with an illicit relationship with some other God. Don't be rejoicing. Israel was not to rejoice and don't expect blessings. Isn't it funny and uncanny that when people are in rebellion, they expect God to still bless them? God, keep the money coming in the bank. God, keep my health. God, keep things going. I want the promotion or the job. You know, God, I want to. That's incongruent of who God is. Now, you can invent that kind of God, but that's not the God of the Bible. Israel was not to rejoice and expect anything blessing, any bountiful when it comes down to harvest time because of her unfaithfulness will prevent God from blessing them. For example, in Hosea chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in thy time thereof and my wine in the season thereof and will recover my wool and my flax given to her nakedness. Notice mine. My. Who owns everything? God said, that's my money. Those are my clothes. Those are my resources. Let's fast forward today. The clothes you got on, you thought they were yours. Pastor, because I got them out of my own closet, so they are my clothes. No. God owns that. God owns the vehicle that you drove. God, here's a big one. God even is the one that owns your soul. He gave it to you. And all souls, as Ezekiel says, all souls that sin don't serve God, God says that's a consequence. You will die. God says, Israel, since you forgot where your blessings come from, take a note, highlight that. Every day, please be this is a good habit for you. We used to sing a song, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Remind yourself that when you're standing and looking in the mirror, before you brush your teeth, before you put on all that makeup and get yourself together, remind yourself that's a blessing. This came because of God. God gave me this position. Blessings come from God. My food, my drink, my clothing. God says, since you forgot, I'm going to reward your rebellion and return you back to hunger, poverty, and nakedness. Pastor, did the Crime fit the penalty. All I know, even in the book of Revelations, when God's bringing judgment, the angels say, righteous are all your works, O God. God is still righteous. You see, Israel, every threshing floor, Israel had erroneously attributed that the prosperity of her harvest, the crops that they received, the corn, the wine, the fruits, the figs, all these agricultural blessings, they attributed them to Baal, a Canaanite pagan deity. Gave the blessings to somebody else, gave the credit to someone else. And we see that. Look at Hosea chapter 2, verse 5. Hosea chapter 2, verse 5. And I'm going to explain that threshing floor for you, because some of us contemporary people, we might be a little bit too sophisticated for this whole threshing floor thing. But I will get to that. Hosea 2, verse 5, the Bible says, for their mother had played the harlot, speaking about Israel. Her mother had played the harlot. She that conceived them had done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water and my wool and my flax and my oil and my drink. Your lovers, Israel? Jesus said, God said, Almighty, God said in Jeremiah 31, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You got other lovers that... Now, in a contemporary sense, what lovers are you aware of? Are you acquainted with? Can you comprehend? Are you cognizant to? If you're not careful, you got lovers, and they're not God. I love my car. I love my job. I love my child. I love my spouse. Be careful. Keep it in context. We know those gifts come from God, but they should not have a place of prominence in your life. They should not have a place of prominence in your life where you think they provide you your security. Our security is greater than social security. Our security comes from God. Our foundation's in Him. We lift our eyes toward the hills where our help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and the earth. And at this juncture, Israel forgot and picked somebody else and created someone else as their provider. Let me ask you a question. How did God feel about that? And how should He respond to such betrayal? How should He respond? We'll get to that. Threshing floor. What's a threshing floor? Well, in biblical times, they didn't have the machinery or they didn't have the technology and agriculture like we enjoy today. You see, a threshing floor, basically where they took the harvest and the grain, and you separate the wheat from the tares, you separate it by beating it on a hard, flat surface. You did that manually, where you will trample and beat the corn or the wheat, if you will, the wheat on a hard, flat surface. And it had to be smooth. And that was typically the threshing floor. Sometimes they would bring, the process included bringing animals in, and they would just keep trampling over that grain, in order for them to pull away the stuff that you could eat, and the stuff that you could not eat, they would leave it there. And in the process of doing that, as they was pressing on the threshing floor, instead of saying, God is good, instead of God is great, look what God has given us, look what God has blessed us with, look what our Redeemer, He's faithful, look what our faithful God who brought the rain, and then we have harvest, look what God is doing for us. Oh, Baal. Thank you, Baal. Baal has done this. Baal has brought us these crops and made it fruitful. And the wine presses usually were used for both grapes and oils. Can you see God? I love the comparison. Like, if you know that your spouse is cheating on you, what would that do to your heart? Wouldn't it break you? Wouldn't it leave you? A multitude of emotions would surface up, from wrath to rage to sorrow to brokenness to pain. And knowing that you've been faithful, you've been providing protection, you've been investing, you've been loving, and she says to you, oh, I get my blessings from somebody else. Israel had become an unfaithful wife by offering worship to Baal and receiving Baal the wages of a prostitute or a harlot. These wages, the fruit, the byproduct of that union, these wages, the wheat of the threshing floor. God said, I want to bless you, but unfortunately, you're selling yourself out, you're committing yourself to another god. Now, verse 3, how would God respond? Verse 3, God says, they shall not dwell in the Lord's land. Point, whose land is it? Whose land is it? Israel's? It's Israel's land because it's God that gave them that land. Whose land is the United States of America? But in this case, God said, that's my land, Israel. The very land that you're getting your corn and your crops and your figs and your fruit from, it's my land. It's my land. But you're not going to live there anymore. You will not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim, that's Israel, another name from Israel, because one of the kingdoms, one of the tribes is Ephraim. But Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. Here's the picture of judgment. Here's the picture. The judgment will be accomplished completely through an invasion by a nation called Assyria. So the judgment will come in through an invasion. And then the Lord reminded us that, again, the land belonged to the Lord. But I'm going to bring some foreigners in. There will be an occupation in my land because of your sin. If you need a reference, look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 17. Exodus chapter 15, verse 17. God says, I'm going to bring them in and plant them in the mountain of the inheritance in the place of the land which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary of the Lord, which thy hands have established. In other words, God says, this is my hand. I gave you this land. So here's the application. Egypt is mentioned again because Egypt, remember last study, is a picture of bondage, is a picture of the past, it's a picture of the world. God says, you want the world? I'm sending you back to the world. The world, you think the world can give you everything you need? I don't know about you, who wants to go back to the world? The world can't do nothing for me or for you. The world can't give you what you need, can't provide, can't protect. But yet, when you get so worldly, God says, I'm going to let you reap the consequences of being in the world. Again, Egypt is again mentioned here, not text, because that was that place of bondage for the nation of Israel. Remember, Israel, you were stripped of your dignity. Strapped in suffocating servitude, and you want to go back to that? You've been reduced to a ravished and starved dog that's returning back to his vomit. What does that look like today? Pastor, I had a relapse. Pastor, I went back this. God is able to restore. God is able to redeem. There's nowhere you can go so far where God can't reach you. But I tell you what, when you walk in that process of rebellion and you return back to those ways, you will experience the consequences. Going back to sickening things, sickening behavior, sickening diet. And God's going to say, hey, since you want a corruptible table, I'm going to let you eat at a corruptible table in a corruptible land. Yes, the punishment fit the perpetrator. Now, verse 4, God is offended by their offensive offerings. That's what we see in verse 4. Notice, they shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. And all that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. While you're in Assyrian occupation, the opportunity to come to me in legitimate worship would not be available. It would come to an end. Why? What happened? Write the reference down, Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. God says, you're going to try to worship me while you're in captivity, but guess what? I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to accept your offerings. Why? Because when I wanted real worship, when I desired real mercy, when I wanted the real kind of a heart, the right heart, a genuine expression, a worship, and I wanted you to worship me in spirit and in truth, you brought hypocrisy. Hosea 6, 6. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. Here again, we have a nation that refused to conduct itself, refused to worship accordingly, refused to bring an attitude of reverence in the house of the Lord. I was having a conversation not too long ago with a brother, and you know, he had a very legitimate point. You know, there were different expressions of religion that they bring a different attitude when they come to the house of the Lord, even though they're in error. Do you know that? I love this fact, and it's a juggling act, but we got to make sure we're consistent, that when we come to the house of the Lord, when we come to Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, how many of you guys know that this is the house of the Lord? And when you come to the house of the Lord, there's a place for fellowship, there's a place for communion, but somewhere I need you. God needs you to make a transition. God needs you to make a transition that this is serious now. If it's the once we begin to open up scripture or read the word, we must bring a sacrifice of praise as well as one of respect when we get to the house of the Lord.
We thank you for joining us today for the first part of Pastor Bernard's message, Israel's Hostility Faces Some Holy Heat. In today's message, Pastor gave us an excellent reminder that all good things come from the Lord. It is important that we recognize God as the source of every good thing, and that we also remember to praise Him for His blessings. When was the last time you expressed your gratitude to the Lord for those things that you may commonly take for granted? We encourage you to take time to thank the Lord for these abundant gifts today. We invite you to join us for the continuation of this message during our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. If you are interested in contacting our ministry, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We would love to hear from you. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support this work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.